Guys, thank you so much for being here. Really, just astounding. And we're so excited about today and what's going to happen. So first off, if this is your first time, can you raise your hand? It's your first time to be here? Awesome. Thank you for being here. I asked that same question on our launch Sunday, and it was ironic because it was all of our first time. So I got to raise my hand. I was like, yeah, first time. And it was a funny joke. I'm a jokey guy. I make jokes. That's my thing, I guess. Most of the time they land. Sometimes they don't. So if it doesn't land, just give me a courtesy laugh. Come on, people, please. You know, come on. Thank you, Joe. Joe is there for me. So it was a trick question. It was ironic. And then when I was preparing this message, I thought about it, and I was like, we're starting a new church. This is something brand new in the Heights. And the irony is that the church has really been around for a long time. 2,000 years, the Christian church has been around. So how does it make sense that you're starting something new that's been around for 2,000 years? It's ironic. Just ironic in the question that it was your first time, even though we just started this thing. It really messes with your mind. You begin to think, okay, what's going on? And if it's been around so long, why start a new church? So the fad right now, and it's kind of been a fad for a while. I mean, it's like the DIY, make old things look new fad. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got your Pinterest boards, and you got all that kind of stuff, and you're pinning, like, this old clock, it looks awesome. Or you go to, like, World Market, or you go to Pier 1. See, ladies, I know the places. You go to those places, and you buy this brand new clock that looks like it's 1,000 years old, you know? And it's this is whole thing, and one of Hannah's favorite shows is Fixer Upper, and that's, like, shiplap, shiplap, shiplap everywhere to make it look, brand new, but look old. It's a fad. It's a thing. It's cool. Hannah and I were going to buy outfits for our anniversary Sunday, and we're looking around, and I found mine pretty quick. Hannah, not so quick. And so I'm helping her. I'm helping her find stuff, and she's got like a specific thing that she's looking for. And right now, I don't know what it is, but there's this style right now. It's not a tall tee, but it's like these really long shirts, but then like, at the bottom, it's not straight. It's like at an angle. It's like a tail on some parts of it. It looks ratty. It looks like people are stretching. No offense. Now, if that is your style, if that's your style, I mean, go for it. I'm all for it. It looks great. But I don't know where they find these clothes. I have never seen them before in a store. And I go to like these, it's mostly predominant with like worship leaders. Luckily, Josh is not that way, but it's like they wear these things, and I'm like, how do they even find this stuff? I've been to the mall. I've been on the internet. Is it like a secret club? I mean, and so Hannah, I don't mean that it's garbage, but it looks like they pulled it out of a garbage can, and that's the style, and they pay a lot for it. And so when Hannah goes, I'm looking for this. And I said, oh, you want a garbage shirt? And she kind of looks at me straight, and I was like, I'm sorry. Let me explain. And I explained, and I was like, that's what they look like. I don't know where they get it. It's like this phenomenon. It might be because I'm just old now. That might be what it is. Usually pastors that are my age or older that wear that kind of stuff, they have somebody advising them, a young worship leader. It's like, oh, this is where you get it. You go to this site, you go talk to this guy in this corner, and he's worn it nice and good for you. So hey, it's only $200. It's a fad. It's a thing. And people like this because when you have something that's new but looks old, the oldness, it gives the representation of character. It's lived. It's something has happened. And people don't want to seem brand new. You've heard the saying, I'm not just out of the womb. I'm not brand new. I'm not a baby. People don't want to be treated that way. They want to be treated like they have wisdom. They have something going on. They know some stuff. That's why we like this purposeful stuff that makes it look like there has been a story there. So you see this right here? This is a drafting board, right? And so when we were starting the church, I was on the hunt. I was like, I have to have a cool pulpit. I can't have, I'm in the Heights. Very artistic community here, you know. I got to have something that they'll appreciate. And so I was on the hunt. I didn't know exactly what I was looking for, but I was looking. Going to antique shops, going to Pier 1s and all these places to find something unique. And hunting. It was getting close to launch day, and I was starting to get worried. I was like, okay, I guess I'll just use a podium or make someone hold it for me. I don't know. That's very unique. Make a person stand here. It's a shop on Yale. I'm walking around. I'm touring around, and I see something. And I see these legs. I look at it, and there's just junk, just awesome junk, to say the least, junk, just piled up all over it, and there's a sheet over it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what is that? Is that an antique? Is that meant to be sold? Or is it just holding all this stuff up? And so I start pulling it up, and I start looking at it, and I'm like, that is a very unique table. And man, it's been weathered. It looks like it has a story. It looks like it has something to it, but it wasn't purpose for what it's being done, what's being used for. It's just holding stuff. And so I went and I grabbed the person, and I'm like, what is this? You know, it's a drafting table. What happens on a drafting table? And you're like, oh, plans are drawn up. So I don't know what was made on this table, what was decided. It could be buildings in Houston. It could have been whole neighborhoods. You don't know what. It could be bridges. Something, this was very purposeful. Some big stuff happened, but it was just sitting in there. And so I acquired it. I repurposed it. See what I'm doing now? See there? I took something old and I made it new again. I gave it life again. And I love it because it looks like it has some character. It looks like, man, I've really preached some passionate messages on this, you know? Gives that illusion. Guys, this is not something that's new, right? We see it as a new fad. This is nothing that's new. This has actually been happening for 2,000 years. The ultimate repurposer happened. He came, he hit the scene, and his name was Jesus. When Jesus came in a miraculous way, from miraculous conception, in this amazing way, fully God and fully man, and he came for a purpose, and that was to repurpose, to take something old and make it new again. And what he did was so complex that in this time, he gave some examples. We call them the ordinance of the church. There's two of them. And it's something that he gave us to practice to symbolize what he did, but he did it first. So there's two things I'm going to read to you, two scriptures right now. First one is in Luke 22:20. It says, if you have phones pulled out, it'll be on the screens. All right, so it says, Luke 22:20, and likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. See, in this moment, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. This is an example of what's going to happen. This is how I'm going to repurpose things. And then he took his blood and he said, drink this in this example. He was giving us what is going to happen. He was foreshadowing what was going to happen. So that was an awesome moment. He gave us, and that's one of our ordinances of church, to take communion. The next thing is in Mark 1, 9 through 11. And it says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am pleased. Can you imagine that moment, the heavens being torn open? And then you hear this voice. I mean, if there was any argument at the time of like, is he really the Son of God? You just heard him. My son, you know, this booming voice from heaven. See, in this moment, he gave us another example to be baptized. Baptism was a commandment. It was to show that the old you went down and the new you came up. And this is our second, this is another thing that we practice, or another ordinance of the church, and that's baptism. Jesus came to take the old and make it new. See, there was already a covenant. There was already a relationship between God and his people, his creation. But it, not that it wasn't enough, because God's perfect. We are imperfect. And so it wasn't enough for us. We weren't grasping it. We were struggling. So Jesus said, hey, I'm going to send the ultimate fixer-upper, better than Chip and Joanna Gaines. I'm sending you someone better. That's going to fix this. And so he sent Jesus. And an awesome thing happened there. See, the character of Christ was so powerful that he changed the world in that time, and he's still changing the world today. Jesus took an old device and transformed it. And if Jesus had a Pinterest, okay, this is what he would have Pinterest, all right? What do we know as the symbol of Christianity? Cross, right? That's the symbol of Christianity. And we wear it around our necks. Some of you are probably wearing it today. But in that time, it wasn't meant to be what it is today. In that time, the cross was something to be afraid of. That's who the most heinous of punishment, heinous of crimes, that's how they punished them, was the cross. They put nails in their hands and let them dangle until they died. That's the way it went down. So you were supposed to be afraid of the cross. What did Jesus do? He did something miraculous on that cross. He took that old thing that's supposed to be feared and he turned it into hope. He turned it into life. And now we look at it as something awesome and glorious and something that we celebrate. We look forward to seeing the cross. But prior to that, they wouldn't have seen it that way. That would be on Jesus' Pinterest board. He said, guys, look what I did. It didn't matter the vehicle and how he did it, but he still took that moment. And so now we see the cross as something great. Jesus is the ultimate at repurposing. And Jesus is now at it again in the heights. He's at it again with Village Heights, making old things new. So, why another church? Some of you are from different churches, and that's fine. You're here to celebrate, and that's awesome. I want you to go back to that church, and I want you to celebrate with them. I'm not trying here to steal people or anything like that. Some of you here are to celebrate. You wouldn't normally hear a pastor say that, but I'm saying it. I'm not here to do that. And you would think that, why another church? I'm saying because we need it. We have some portions in Scripture here that give evidence as to why we need it. And if I'm saying another church, you would think that I'm here to say that they're not hacking it. All these other, there's thousands of churches in the Houston area. You expect me to say, oh, they're not doing it right. They're not hacking it. No, they are. There's a lot of great churches out there. A lot of awesome ones that are doing amazing things, doing God's work. And we celebrate them. And that's why I don't like to steal people. I say, hey, go back to that place. Go back to them. Keep supporting them. We celebrate them. They're doing very well and they're very efficient. Two portions of Scripture here that I want to read to you. The first one is John 13:34. And it says, and you'll hear me say this scripture a lot because it's very important. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You are also there. You are to love one another. Sorry, got tongue twisted there. You are to love one another just as. So, and then the next one is in the Great Commission. Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So my question is, are these two things fulfilled? Are we all about love? Does everybody know Jesus? They might have heard his name before, but have they really given the opportunity to have relationship with him, really be introduced to Jesus? And if your answer to that question is no, that's why. That's why a new church. That's why the irony of starting something new, something that's existed for 2,000 years, because the work is not done yet. When God called, and he called us, this is not an easy task, starting a new church, and especially in an inner city area where there's so much happening, so much transient, you know, jobs and all that. This is not an easy task, and we had to be called to do this. And God calls us because the work is not done. There's people that need opportunity to know him, opportunity to know Jesus. So think, I want you to think right now. Think of the people in your life that are broken, hurt, poor, dismayed, family problems, all these things. And if you can think, you can see them in your head right now. You're seeing their faces. And if you can think of those people need Jesus. They need a place, a church that will introduce them to Jesus. It's very important that we continue to do this. We continue to practice this. It's a very simple. See, God didn't make it complex. He said, love them as I have loved you. Go into all the world and tell them about me. Simple, easy to understand, but very deep in the carry out. It's not an easy task. He didn't want you to be confused about it, but he's ready for you to do the work. And you have to do the work. It's not just going to happen. You can pray for people, that's great, but if you really want them to know Jesus, you got to show them who he is. And Village Heights is going to be one of those places. Village Heights is going to be one of those places. So this love can be fulfilled in you and backed by Village Heights. You just got a snippet. If you don't know us, if you've never been around us before, you got a snippet of what God has done, what God has done with his church, his brand new church that was existed for a long time. Awesome things are happening here, and we're so excited to be a part of that. We're so excited that you are here and want to celebrate with us. If you don't have a church home, if you don't have a family to wrap their arms around you and to say, hey, I'm there for you. You're going through a hard time. We all go through hard stuff, but don't do it alone. Or you're like, I want to tell people about Jesus, but I just don't know how. I don't have the guts to do it. I feel weird about it. We can help you with that. We can help you do that. So some of you today, you feel like this drafting board. Prior to me finding it, you feel that once you had a purpose, once you fulfilled some great things in your life, some awesome stuff that you can brag about, but now you're just sitting and there's just stuff piling on top of you. And you're not living the purpose that you once did. I'm here to tell you today that just as I found this, brought it to this church, and have been using it to spread the love of Jesus, the ultimate purpose that we could live for, this drafting board is living a higher purpose than it ever did because of what it's facilitating here today. Just the same, you can live a purpose again. Some of you know Jesus already, and you just need newness. You need God to take the old in your life and make it new again. We baptized this. We're going to baptize some people today because we're making them new again. They're shedding the old. They're being repurposed. They're having their Joanna Gaines moment. So why do we baptize? I know that some of this, that's the question. Why do we do this? And it's a whole long, drawn-out thing. I would love to sit down with you and talk about it. But just a snippet in Scripture can give you some evidence of why we do this. And it says in Romans 6, 3 through 4, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that Jesus, as Christ, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When we come to know Christ, we are given an opportunity. It's like if we didn't know him before, we didn't have a relationship, we were removed from our Creator, the one that can fix us, the one that can help us. We were pulled away from him. We pushed away. And this is the opportunity to get connected back in. And I can tell you, anybody that has come to the Christ for the first time, they can feel this weight lift off their shoulders. They can feel like, man, I feel like I'm living again. I was just existing before, but now I'm living. It's because they've been reconnected with the one that created them, reconnected with the one that loves them. So we're having baptisms today. We're having some proclamation of faith in Jesus Christ. But some of you might here today might not have a relationship with Christ. And this can be your opportunity to be reconnected with your Creator. And then if you want to get baptized, if you're comfortable with that, we'll baptize you today. We have shirts for you to put on. We have towels to dry you off, and we have people here to celebrate with you. So I'm going to read this, and I want you to repeat it after me as a prayer. I want all to do it together. This isn't to embarrass anybody to make this whatever moment. This is between you and Christ. So I want everybody to repeat after me. And if this is your first time to pray this prayer and you truly want to accept Christ, pray it. Pray it directly to him. So repeat after me. God, I recognize that my life, I'm getting a little emotional here. God, I recognize that I have not lived my life for you. I have been living for myself, and that is wrong. I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I acknowledge the completed work of your Son, Jesus Christ, in giving his life for me on the cross. And I long to receive the forgiveness you have made freely available to me. Come into my life now, Lord. Take up residence in my heart. And be my King, my Lord, and my Savior. I ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. If you pray that for the first time, your life is about to change. You have been reconnected with your Creator, the Savior that came from the heaven, fully God and fully man. You have joined back up with Him. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Your life, you're going to see in new colors, brighter, more vivid. You're going to see people in different ways. You're going to see hurting. You're going to see celebration. And today, if you prayed that prayer, or if you've never been baptized before, I challenge you, make the proclamation of faith today and be baptized. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of Village Heights and making God's church happen here. See lives changed. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray. And then when we're done, we're going to head out those doors. And you guys, if you're not being baptized, you're just here to celebrate, grab a pop. We have Steel City Pops for you. It's for the, you know, counteract the heat. And celebrate with us as we, this awesome thing, we celebrate this faith that has happened here today. And if this is your first time, please come talk to us and we will get you connected. Meet us over here by these doors and we'll get you all fixed up. Lord, I thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you did for us on the cross. That you took something that means death and destruction, you transformed it into hope and life. You didn't have to, Jesus. God, you didn't have to send your son to die, but you love us so much that you did. So today, Lord, as we baptize and proclaim for all the world to see that we are a part of a family, we are a part of this church, we are a part of your people, bringing us back to our Creator so that you can smile upon us and be proud of your creation. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much for Village Heights. Thank you for all these awesome people, Lord, and I thank you for the future to come. Lord, bless it as we go. Bless each and everyone here. Lord, we love you, and in the powerful name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.